Devotion to Thee. O Lord, take our hands and let them work incessantly for Thee. O Lord, take our mind and thoughts and let them be in tune with Thee. O Lord, take our souls and let them be merged in one with Thee. O Lord, take our everything and let us be worthy instruments of Thee.
Shri Sai Ram. We, the alumni of Shri Satya Sai Primary School, offer our humble and loving pranams to our most beloved Sai Ma. Professor N. Kasturi once told Swami that he wished to be reborn as a child at his primary school so as to experience the special love which he had for his students. In the year 1980, under the direct guidance and supervision of Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Primary School was inaugurated. Today, 32 years hence, the school stands testimony to the incomparable bond of innocent love which Swami shares with his tiny tots. He fed us with his own hands. He caressed our ailing minds and bodies and taught us lessons from the alphabet to that of life. He blessed us with teachers whose selfless sacrifice made us worthy of being called His. Swami, our hearts still leap with joy and our eyes brim with tears of gratitude as we come to You once again with our tiny hearts which blossomed at Your divine touch. The word gratitude itself falls short for what we feel and what we wish to express through our words. Our first speaker today wishes to take you down memory lane to share with you her journey as a student. Mrs. Sonia Thakkar studied at Shri Satya Sai Primary School from 1996 to 1998. She did her bachelor's and master's in English from Shri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, graduating in the year 2003. She received gold medals for both the degrees from the divine hands. She followed this with a diploma in journalism from New Delhi. As a TV journalist, she has worked with networks such as Star News, CNN, IBN, and TV9. She is no longer an active journalist, but she does some freelance writing for Swami-based newsletters, e-journals, and websites. She currently lives in Bangalore with her 2-year-old son and husband, who works as a neurosurgeon at Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. I would now like to invite Sonia sister to come and share with us her experiences.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer my loving pranams at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Mother Sai. Sai, who is the anchor of my purest thoughts, the nurse, the guide, the guardian of my heart and soul of all my moral being, in the words of Wordsworth. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, fellow Sai students, Sai Ram to one and all. I joined the primary school in 1996 in my 11th standard. I wanted to join it a few years earlier, but the all-knowing Lord knew best, and he told me on several occasions to come only after I finished intermediate. All batches of Swami's students are lucky or blessed, but I would say it was particularly great that year, as Swami suddenly decided that he would give a divine discourse every single day for the next 365 days. So as primary school students who craved for more than the Sunday and Thursday morning darshans that we came for, we were ecstatic that we would get to see our Lord every day. I must confess, the discourse was only a means. It was Swami's darshan that was the real end. So we would wait impatiently for the last class of the day to get over, rush up to the dormitory to change into our whites, and then literally run down the slope from Shanti Bhavan to Sai Kulwant Hall in order to reach before Bhagwan did. Our ears would be peaked to see if we could hear the music which heralded Swami's darshan had started or not, and the relief of knowing that indeed we were on time. Truly, those were the days. Many a learned and wise speaker has taken this podium before me. I cannot say that I have experienced any great life-changing miracles, nor have I had any profound or incredible experiences. Of course, Swami has governed every aspect of my life since he came into it, and in the physical form, he showered so much love and grace on my family. Yet the only reason I am here, my only real qualification, is that I have been a student of Bhagwan. I'm proud to say so, and I'm grateful for this opportunity today to put forth some of my own thoughts and feelings. 7 years in Swami's institutions, and I have listened to many, many discourses on every festival, every function, and at one point, as I said earlier, every day. There was so much that Swami wanted to teach us, and he had to put it in so many different ways in order for us to understand. Sometimes he would talk Vedic philosophy that went far beyond my limited understanding. At other times he was so, so down to earth that his humanness shone through. But to me, the one thing that I can really say that sums up all Swami's words, all his teachings, the one principle, the one value, I would say is love or prema. And if you think about it, if there is love, then there is everything else. If you have love in your heart, you will always speak the truth, satya. you will always be righteous. Dharma. If there is love in the world, there will be everlasting peace. Shanti. If there is love, then you will not harm others. Ahimsa. If there is love, if you love others like you love yourselves, then you will want to serve them selflessly. Seva. If there is love, there is compassion. If there is love, there will be devotion, dedication, and ultimately divinity. Swami made it so simple for us. All we have to do is to love all. But if only it were as simple as it sounds. If love were the principle by which we were to lead our lives, then this world would be perfect. But to perfect this principle, well, it may take a lifetime or even more. But when we talk about the divine love, his compassion, then that's another story. Recently, two families known to us were involved in two separate but serious road accidents. They both were Sai devotees. In the first incident, the family was driving back to Bangalore from Puttaparthi when their car collided head-on with another vehicle at a high speed. The car was smashed completely, but the family escaped with barely any injuries. In the second accident, the family was driving from Bangalore to Puttaparthi ahead of the convocation last month. Even a one-year-old baby was in the car. The car, on a steep bend, spun out of control, turned turtle, turned back on its wheels, and rammed hard into an electric pole. The car was wrecked beyond repair, and yet the family, including the baby, escaped unharmed. So how do we explain such incidents? The word miracles comes to mind. So aren't Swami's so-called miracles actually expressions of his love and compassion? This is our Lord. As students of Bhagwan, the one thing that now comes naturally to us is to rely on his love and compassion, to rely on him completely that he will take care. If we listen closely enough, he gives us the answers to our questions. If we pray hard enough, he won't have the heart to deny us. A few years ago, when I moved to Bangalore as a TV journalist, I applied for and got a job in a television channel. I was a little apprehensive about joining this particular network, as the Telugu channel of the same network had at the time portrayed Swami in a negative light on several occasions. I was to join the English channel of the same group, and I prayed to Swami that nothing controversial should come my way. A few days before I was to join the job, I went for darshan to Vrindavan. It was the time of the annual summer course, and Swami gave a discourse that day. He said one sentence in answer to my prayers. He said, "If someone says something about your God, listen through one ear and let it go out through the other." With that one sentence, he vanquished all my fears. He gave me the answer to my prayers. Such a loving Lord. Swami has given us so much in terms of guidance, love, compassion, teachings, grace. So what is it that we can offer back to him in return? He who is the Lord of the universe, when everything that we see around us belongs to him. He often used to say that he does not want us to shut ourselves up in a room and offer fruit and flowers to his picture in worship. But if we can take even one of his principles and follow it truly, if we can take even a fraction of his teachings and incorporate them in our lives, then this will go a long way in repaying the debt that we owe him. This is the way in which we can really show him that we love him. It is very easy to say that we love Swami. I think many of us, we were in love with the physical form. We would have done anything for our Lord. As students, we would practice day and night for the sports meet to make him proud. We would stay up all night to make cards just to see the smile on his face. We would sit for hours on end just to get a glimpse of him. But is this all that he really wanted from us? Wasn't what he wanted was for us to see him in others, to love him, to love others as we love Him, to serve others, to make our lives His message. I think the one way in which we can really show the Lord how much we love Him is by having full and unflinching faith in Him, knowing that whatever He does is for our own good, and leading our lives in that faith and with that confidence. Recently, I spoke to another SAI student who was at the time awaiting results to an application for a fellowship in cardiology in the United States. Her result was to be out in a couple of hours, and I told her that I would pray to Swami to give her the seat that she wanted. She told me, "No, don't do that. Don't pray to Swami to give me what I want. Pray to Swami that He gives me what He knows is best for me." And I thought, now that is faith. When we really, really want something, it is so difficult to pray to Swami, "Don't give me what I want. Give me what You want." When, in hindsight, when things turn out better than expected, it is very easy to say, "Oh, God gave me this, He knew best," and be happy with the result. But it is only true faith in Him that can prompt such a response. And that is the kind of faith we have to strive to achieve. Swami used to narrate a very nice little anecdote to teach us how whatever God does is for our own good. He would tell us the story of a king who had a very wise minister. One day the king, while he was cutting a piece of sugarcane, he cut his finger. It began to bleed profusely, and the minister, on seeing this, remarked, "This too is for the best." The king was enraged, and he ordered that his minister should be taken away to the jail. As the minister was being led away by the guards, he again remarked, "This too is for the best." Now the king was perplexed on hearing this, but he thought that his minister had gone mad. Later that day, the king went out hunting with his party. When he realized halfway through in the woods that he was all alone, he got separated from the rest of the people. He stopped to rest under the shade of a tree, and there a group of tribals caught hold of him and took him captive. The tribals were doing a puja to Mother Kali, and they needed a human to sacrifice to conclude the ritual. The king tried to protest, telling them that he was the king and the ruler of the realm, but to no avail. The tribals on their part were very, very happy that they had got such an important person to sacrifice to their goddess. As the priest was about to sacrifice the king, he noticed the bandage around the king's finger. And when he saw that the king had a cut and was blemished, he had to let him go, as a blemished person cannot be offered in sacrifice. So the king returned to his kingdom, much the wiser, realizing the truth in his minister's words. Had he not cut his finger, the tribals would have killed him by now. But he still had a doubt in his mind. He ordered that his minister be released from the jail, and he asked him that how was it that your going to jail was also for the best? And the minister replied, "O king, had you not sent me to jail, I would have accompanied you on the hunt, and when the tribals let you go, they would have sacrificed me instead." Such a simple story, but such a wonderful message. This is the way in which our Swami worked. He would take the most profound truth and wrap it in an enchanting story that we would remember for life. In my 11th and 12th standard, I had taken MPC, science subjects. I had plans of doing engineering. About the time when I asked my parents to procure the necessary application forms for the various engineering colleges, Swami told my parents in an interview that I should study English at his college at Anandpur. From engineering to BA, it came as quite a shock at the time. But Swami's word is our command, and He rewarded me with 2 gold medals. What more could I ask for? How could I have any regrets after that? Swami knows what is best for us, though it may be trying at the time. He sees our past, our present, and our future. He sees far beyond what we can see with our limited eyes and understanding. He is the all-knowing Lord, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. When I was in my 7th standard, I was studying at a boarding school at Oxford in England. I came to Puttaparthi with my parents for the Christmas holidays. At that time, during those years, Swami was very kind to grant us with an interview on almost every visit to Prashanthi Nilayam. As I sat for darshan one day, a very trivial thought passed through my mind. I thought to myself, if Swami were to materialize something for me, what would it be? My school had very strict regulations against wearing any kind of jewelry, so I thought that if there was something that Swami could give me which I could wear every day, that would be a watch. Swami called us for an interview. He materialized a chain for my brother, and then to my utter amazement, he created a watch for me. He knows everything, and it is small incidents like these which have really helped to build, strengthen, and keep my faith in him. Studying under Swami's umbrella has been one of the most amazing experiences in itself. The lessons we learned at Baba's primary school, and indeed his other educational institutions, went far beyond the classroom textbooks and lectures, far beyond even the classes in human values, for the real values we learned were in the dormitory to share and care, on the playing field to be fair and just, in the hostel dining hall, don't waste food, food is God, during the sports meet, to be single-minded and dedicated. The real values we learned were from the examples our teachers set us. And I would like to take this opportunity to say, and I know that I speak for all the students here, when I say that I have never seen such loving and dedicated teachers. I remember during our 12th standard board exams, our teachers would get up earlier than us, wake us up at 4 o'clock in the morning to study, sit with us throughout the day until we had finished the portion they had allotted for us, whether it was 11, 12, or even 1 in the night sometimes. And still they would be up the next day with the same amount of dedication and energy. During the sports meet, our teachers would sit all night to stitch costumes for the younger children. They would stay out in the sun practicing with us all day. They would give us cold rasna when we needed respite from the heat. If this is not love for Swami, then I don't know what is. As I stand here with only a few hours to go before we step into 2013, let us step into a better world, one in which we have the conviction to stand by our faith, one in which we have faith in our Lord's love for us, and one in which we have the strength to love him back in the way he wants us to. Let us step into a world in which Sai is foremost in our thoughts, words, and deeds, guiding our minds, hearts, and souls to do the right thing, to love all and serve all. Jai Sai Ram.
Pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagawan. Brothers and sisters and extended members of the Sai family, Sai Ram. I stand here before you to introduce our second speaker for today evening, Gunaranjan. Gunaranjan did his schooling in the Sri Satya Sai Primary School, Ooty, and the Satya Sai Higher Secondary School from 1985 to 1995. He then went on to finish his undergraduation in physics, his master's in physics, and an MBA from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, graduating in 2002. He is the founder of United Care Development, also known as UC, which is a philanthropy exchange, which raises resources for result-oriented work in the area of education, health and environment. Prior to joining UC, Gunaranjan worked for 7 years in Basics, which is a development financial institution, and was a head of their microfinance operation in the northeastern region. Gunaranjan.
Loving salutations to our beloved Lord, to all the elders, beloved teachers, brothers and sisters, New Year greetings to you all. For all of us, the alumni from the Satya Sai Primary School, this day is truly a kind of homecoming for all of us. And it has been so even the day we joined. I very distinctly remember, this was 25 years ago, way back in 1987, the first day when I was dropped by my parents at the Uti school. I, for a moment, truthfully speaking, for a moment did not feel homesick. And that was something that would repeat every time I went back to the school after the summer or winter vacation. And what is the secret behind that? The speaker earlier touched upon that we really had such great loving teachers. And in this afternoon, we were there with them for a lunch meeting. And a lot of them are here. And they were there then, too, 25 years ago. And they look the same. And with the same energy, with the same love, inquiring, caring, and also feeding us to this day. At the risk of sounding a bit stretched, I would like to say that like Lord Krishna had Yashoda, who took care of him, I think we were fortunate, all of us, especially those of us who've been, you know, for whom the school was our true home, in a sense, that we had so many mothers like Yashoda. And this is from the bottom of our heart, I would say that. And it did not stop. This experience would not stop just while at primary school. I had the opportunity to continue to the higher secondary school and beyond to the college, the Satya Sai University. And that is the same kind of care and treatment that we received all through from our teachers. And therefore, it was not just, our teachers were not just there delivering lectures in our classroom. They were much more than that. Caring for us and being teachers beyond the classroom. And I think we were truly fortunate to have such guidance all through. And then you think about it, how is it that so consistently for so many years that you have the fortune of being served by such dedicated people? What motivates them? What drives them? I think, you know, it's an open secret, if I have to use a word, that is our Bhagwan. He is the inspiration and the motivation for everyone, and including all of us. And while we had the teachers, the main teacher in all of our years at the school and in the college was none other than Bhagwan. And our, as I said, our learning was beyond the classroom, and I think the most important the lessons we had during our stay were very much in this hall, and also beyond, so where Bhagwan would visit us, be it in the playground, visit the hostels, visit our classrooms over the years, and impart us lessons which are immemorable. And the wonderful thing, as we reflect about Bhagwan's care and attention, is that he was not only caring as a mother, which can sometimes, in a normal situations, motherly care can become a little overprotective. But I think it was a great balance of that true motherly care, protectiveness, with the same time, you know, him pushing us to stretch us and extend our boundaries, extend our capabilities, nudging us gently so that we realize our greater potential, and both in body, mind and spirit. And this was done in so many ways. I was quite active at the moment. A lot of the students, current students, are at the moment busy with their annual sports and cultural event. And every year it's a phenomenal display of such human feats that, you know, one wonders whether it is possible in a regular academic institution. And I had the opportunity to participate in several occasions. And today when I reflect back, I think about it, that was it ever possible for me to be in that situation and do it? The amazing feats, either gymnastics, acrobatics, and various other daredevilry stunts that all our friends would display there. And it was in a very subtle way that Bhagwan, while taking care of us, also ensured that we stretched our boundaries, discovered our strengths in physical, in intellectual realms. And Bhagwan would lose no opportunity to display so proudly his students, either on the sports field or in the academic field or in arts like music and drama. Today, my work predominantly is in the area of working on trying to take forward some of the lessons and the good fortune we've had of receiving such bountiful love and care here, and in the form of trying to support public health and public education institutions. And often people, I encounter this questions from people asking me, why are you doing this? You know, you're too qualified to be doing this. You should be in a better paying job and things like that. To me, that has always been a no question. And this is perhaps a naive and a simple answer that I've often, that I share with people, that at Bhagwan's institutions, we've received, in my opinion, the best that in the form of education that we can get, and not just academic content, but much more all-rounded inputs and the best that one could get. And all of this was done with such great care and absolutely free. And in today's times in our country, it is such a challenge to get either of them, either to get quality education or free, and very rarely the two together. And when I think a little more, reflect a little more about it, I realize that in a lot of situations where, for example, where it is state-funded education, either entirely free or subsidized in many cases, there are often strings attached. So if you received some of these courses through these some of these institutions, state-funded, so there would be an expectation that you serve in the rural area for a year or you perform certain amount of social service. When I look back and reflect on what we received at Bhagwan's institutions for so many years, there was not a single instance, either directly or indirectly, a message conveyed to us that, you know, you need to give back to society, you know, do a year or two or more of rural service or some other particular social service before you get your formal degree. And this is completely, given with no strings attached, absolutely no strings attached. For me, this is it. I'm awed at every time I think about it, that it was not only all the resources that were devoted to students here, in terms of the wonderful teachers we had, the great infrastructure in which we gathered our education, but most importantly, Bhagwan's own time, the most precious time. If anybody can remember, you know, you will not forget that his maximum time was devoted. That was the biggest resource I think we received as students. And at the end of it, it amazes me to no end that not on one occasion has he ever said, you know, hey, you should, you know, after you finish this, do this. All at most he said was, be good human beings. Be an exemplary human being. It's so modest. But I think we cannot just be good human beings. In situations like today, when our society is confronted with so many challenges, as somebody said, in the world the evil triumphs not because of the strength of the evil, but because the good ones are silent, or something to that effect. And I think if you have to take some cue from that message, then I think it's not enough for us to be just good human beings. We need to step out and do a little more. And in Bhagwan's life, this was something that was demonstrated day in and out. His commitment, his care, his time to development of the nation and the world through service. Service in so many ways that one, you know, it's hard to recount in a few minutes or even a few hours. And I'd just like to recall a couple of other important lessons that we got, not just in our within the portals of our institution here, but beyond, and which is something that I take away greatly in my current work. One of the greatest lessons has been, you know, as we observe here the work of Sevadal, and how quietly, how efficiently, you know, in so many places, be it in managing the work within the ashram, in the hospitals, and in so many other places, how quietly, how sincerely the work gets carried out. And this is a great lesson on community participation. And as we look at addressing social issues, I think this is one of the most important things to carry back on. How do we get greater community participation? And a direct lesson which I can share at the moment, which, you know, in the last 4 to 5 months we've been trying to put to practice, and I would say this is from an unbelievable, absolutely, you know, 100% conviction on how, you know, a lot of great things can be done with committed volunteering spirit, the way it is demonstrated by Sevadal. So currently through the organization UC that I work with, we're working with one of the largest public health institution called the Gandhi Hospital in Hyderabad, trying to bring in, mobilize a lot of community participation in trying to make the hospital more patient friendly. It's a 1200 bed hospital. And I think what we've seen here in the super speciality hospital here in Puttaparthi and Bangalore is the amazing quality. And apart from the great medical teams, the infrastructure, the amazing service that is delivered by the Sevadal. And to me, I've been a witness to this for so many years that I fail to understand why we've not been able to take it to more hospitals, especially in the public health, where a lot of citizens access this care. So in the last 4 to 5 months, we've begun an initiative where every day there are about 20 volunteers at the hospital providing information at the help desk, at the outpatient ward, and providing play activities for the pediatric. It's a large hospital. And I would say that our lessons didn't end here in the classroom, but in so many other ways we were exposed to great ways of doing service. And truly, I'm grateful to all that, you know, we've learned here, which we're able to take it forward. Going back to the point on the challenges that we face, there's no point in describing, because I think it confronts us every day in so many ways. I'd like to think about a few points from the theory of situational leadership and management. In many ways, a lot of us alumni here are, a lot of us senior ones here are in great positions of leadership in our own organizations and wherever we are. And that's all truly because of what we have received at Bhagwan's lotus feet. But I think we will fall short of if we just remain in delivering leadership roles within our organizations. Situation leadership calls for looking at the task at hand, the emerging situations, and whether we can, as leaders, step into the emergent situations and contribute and stand out there. And I think this is a great opportunity, and in some ways, a call that perhaps we have to take from Bhagwan, that we need to step in. And when I think about it, it's been about 3.5 years for me personally doing full-time work in this public health, public education. And at the end of it, when I reflected on any day, I realized there's so little that has been achieved. Because the challenge is so huge that even if we spend a lifetime fully dedicated, I'm sure we will fall short of achieving it. A few more lifetimes, also for one individual or one organization, I think we'll fall short of it. But there could be, a shortcut, a mathematical construct, if I may use. That is, I think if we can add our lifetimes together, not one or two or three, but more of us join, I think we get a really long time to do it, even though it's a shorter period of time. And I think that's something we should look about. And as we deliberate at the alumni over the next 2-3 days here, as we gather, it's a fantastic opportunity for us to plan, to think about and plan and see in what ways we can, express our gratitude to Bhagwan in more concrete ways of, realizing certain clear social goals, social outcomes, and possibly be able to every year come back here and dedicate those achievements at his feet. And I think that would be a great way to celebrate every year here. I just like to close with a thought. You see, where I work currently is essentially a giving exchange, a giving platform. And one of the days I was reflecting about it, that giving is something, I think, inevitable. It's something absolutely inevitable. When we depart the stage, when you think about it more seriously, you give away everything, absolutely no choice. We leave behind everything. But I think what we have is a choice of deciding when to give, how to give, where to give, so that, it can make a change. Rather than giving by default when we depart from the stage, I think we can make that choice every day where we give. And I'm hopeful we can spend the next couple of days here thinking about ways to give back to our Bhagwan in the most meaningful way year and year again. Thank you.
In our hearts, crowded with meaningless pursuits, the only meaning that outlives all irrationality is Swami's love. Even the vastness or the infinite depth of the ocean is a feeble comparison to the love that we have received from Swami. It is a love that transcends language, transforms itself into an elevating experience, and accompanies you to the ends of time. Swami's love has become the elixir of life. A look, a gesture, or simply a passing comment has a Midas touch, transforming a commonplace event into a momentous one. One student recalls a Thursday morning in March 1993. He writes,
Lord, and pleaded, "Swami, please talk to us. We know you are leaving for Vrindavan, and this is our last chance before we move into the higher secondary school." Swami laughed and patted each one of us on our cheeks and replied, "You may leave, but I will never leave you. These words continue to infuse inspiration and hope into me until this day.
Of a child and patiently teaches the child to negotiate the path unknown, so did Swami, with more than a mother's love, teach us that in every fall is hidden a significant rise. The lessons we have learnt were for life, The greatness of the lessons is that it never makes one feel small or wanting. On the other hand, it enables us to call God our own. This is the reason why a student is so overwhelmed by Swami's love that even an instance of her forgetfulness becomes another fond memory. She recalls singing a Kannada song for Swami at his behest. She writes,
"I sang 4 lines and forgot the rest of the song. Then I started again and forgot at the exact same place. This happened all of 3 times before the Lord looked very sweetly at me and asked, 'Marthoida, did you forget?' I nodded, and he gently told me to learn it completely and sing it the next time. The Lord was extremely patient when I made a mistake, and he let me sing it 3 times without getting annoyed and dismissing me. I was, after all, 7 years old. Such is his benevolence."
Good.
As students of primary school, what we received from Swami was not only abundance of love, but more importantly, lessons for life. For one of the occasions, we were practicing Chakka Bhajana, dances being taught by external experts. Swami visited frequently to ensure everyone learnt the art well, and he gave us all the encouragement. This went on for about a fortnight. Eventually, it was the last day of the training. Swami came with a variety of gifts tastefully decorated in trays, including clothes, fruits, and some money. He had brought these items to be given as Guru Dakshina to the trainers. How culturally apt, and thus emphasized the importance of tradition and respect for the Guru.
A student relates how, though a perfectionist himself, Swami always accommodated for our imperfections, so that one day we are all on the same page, his page. There was a drama to be staged for the Lord's 60th birthday. It was an all-male cast for a play to depict Krishna and Gopika's devotion and the love and devotion of Radha for Krishna. Swami would frequently come for the practice sessions and watch the rehearsals. Something was amiss. One day, he asked Srimati Anjali Devi, a veteran Telugu actress and a staunch devotee of Swami, to accompany him. The two of them started watching the play, and soon he instructed Srimati Anjali Devi to go on stage and direct the person playing Radha's role. The expressions of acting were thus passed on to the student, and needless to say, he lived the character on stage.
There is someone about to guide me. There is someone about to show me the way. There is someone about to love me. There is someone about to care. There is someone about to guide me. There is someone about to show me the way. There is someone about to love me. There is someone about to care. And it's love, love all the way. It's sunshine on a rainy day. No clouds can hide our happiness. With everlasting joy you bless. There is someone about to forgive me. There is someone about to hold my hand. There is someone about to help me. There is someone about for me. And it's love, love all the way. It's sunshine on a rainy day. No clouds can hide our happiness. With everlasting joy you bless. There's a Lord's side to guide us. There's a Satya side to show us the way. There's a Swami to love us. There is someone about to care. There's a Lord's side to guide us. There's a Satya side to show us the way. There's a Swami to love us. There is someone about to care. There's a someone about to care. There's a someone about to care.
What else is love, if it is not what is manifested in the experience of the Gram Seva? A brother reminisces the genesis of this mammoth project and the impact it had on his life.
There was a news report of a helpless widow who, after having nothing else for support, turned to a bottle of poison. Unable to feed her three children, she gave them poison to put an end to their suffering. After that, she herself consumed the same, and their lives came to a tragic and abrupt end. When Bhagwan was narrating this to our teachers in the bhajan hall almost a decade ago, people saw tears in Bhagwan's eyes. Isn't it sad that God has to cry for the fate of man? At that moment, Bhagwan questioned how this was possible in the land of Bharat, that is a yoga bhumi, karma bhumi and a tyaga bhumi. It was then that Grama Seva became an integral part of our academic calendar, and we have only Bhagwan to thank for having given us that real education. Bhagwan demonstrated to us what genuine concern really means.
Mere Mola.
Eden Head of Love became our guiding star even as early as the time we first learned our alphabet. A sister fondly remembers the first year of the school when Swami made daily visits to the school.
One day, all of a sudden, he came into our class when Vimla aunty was teaching us the letters of the Telugu alphabet. He asked the teachers to get various grains from the dining hall. That was arranged, and we were all given a handful of grains to arrange the letters. Swami had written Om in Telugu on the notice board and asked us all to arrange the grains in the same pattern. We all made an attempt, with Swami correcting us here and there. Slowly and mischievously, he started walking with his robe dragging over those who had arranged it correctly and laughed out, telling us we had to do it again and arrange it better. This is how he graciously held our hands every step of the way.
As a heart,
important the primary school.
Most important of all is primary school.
ఆ చిన్న పిల్లలు మన ఇంటిలో ఎవరైనా ఒక చిన్న బిడ్డ ఉంటుంటే ఆ బిడ్డను సర్దుకోవటమే మహా కష్టంగా ఉంటుంటాది.
Then the tiny tots, if you imagine little kid at our residence, it is very difficult to spend time with the kid.
1100 మంది ఆ యొక్క ప్రైమరీ స్కూల్లో ఉంటుంటే వారు ఎన్ని విధములైనటువంటి శ్రమ పడుతున్నారనేటువంటిది విశాల హృదయాలు విచారించితే అర్థమవుతుంది.
There are 1100 children in primary school. What kind of effort they put in, you can understand.
4 సంవత్సరాల పిల్లలు 5 సంవత్సరాల పిల్లలు మీరు చూచి ఉంటారు వాళ్ళు ఎంత చక్కని డిసిప్లిన్.
You must have seen children aged 4, 4.5 and 5. What discipline they have.
వాళ్ళు భుజించటం కానీ వారు తిరుగాటం కానీ వారు చేయటం కానీ అన్నిటినీ కూడా చిన్న వయసు లోపలనే వారిని చక్కగా తీర్చిదిద్దుతూ వస్తుంటారు.
దే ఆర్ మోల్డెడ్ రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ దైల్డ్హుడ్. in all things such as eating and moving
about. The
outside world doesn't know that.
ఇక్కడ ఉండినటువంటి వారికి కూడా తెలియదు.
ఈవెన్ దోస్ హియర్ డోంట్ నో.
ఆ ప్రైమరీ స్కూల్లో ఉండినటువంటి టీచర్స్ కానీ వార్డెన్ కానీ ప్రిన్సిపల్ కానీ పగలంతా కూడా పాఠాలు చెప్తారు.
ఇన్ ద ప్రైమరీ స్కూల్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ వార్డెన్ టీచర్స్ దే టీచ్ త్రూఅవుట్ ద డే.
అంతా పని చేస్తారు పాపం.
దే వర్క్ త్రూఅవుట్ నైట్.
ఆ గుడ్డలు మీరు చూచి ఉంటారు పిల్లలు ఆడినటువంటి వేసుకున్నటువంటి వస్త్రములు.
యు మస్ట్ హావ్ సీన్ ద డ్రెస్ పుట్ ఆన్ బై ద ప్రైమరీ చిల్డ్రన్.
అంత టీచర్స్ రాత్రి పూట కూర్చొని కుట్టుకునేటువంటివి పాపం.
ఆల్ దీస్ డ్రెస్సెస్ ఆర్ స్టిచ్డ్ బై ది టీచర్స్ త్రూఅవుట్ నైట్.
ఒక్కొక్క తూరి ఆ టీచర్స్ ని చూచినప్పుడు నాకే చాలా హృదయం కరిగిపోతుంది.
స్వామీస్ హార్ట్ మెల్ట్స్ యాజ్ హి వాచెస్ దోస్ టీచర్స్.
నిద్ర లేదు, కన్నులంతా వాచి ఉంటాయి. ఏమిటంటే రాత్రంతా పనిచేశారు.
దే యాజ్ దే వర్క్ స్ట్రగుల్ హార్డ్ త్రూ ద నైట్.
స్వామి మాకింత ఫ్రీ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఇచ్చినారు, మమ్మల్ని ఈ విధంగా పోషించాడు, సంవత్సరంకు ఒక్క పర్యాయమైనా కూడా మేము ఈ విధంగా సేవ చేయకపోతే మేము చదివి ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి అనేటువంటి సత్యమైనటువంటి భావంతో వారు ఈ విధమైనటువంటి త్యాగానికి పూనుకుంటుంటారు.
స్వామి హాస్ గివెన్ us ఫ్రీ ఎడ్యుకేషన్. He has been taking care of us throughout the year. What is the fun of all this learning and the knowledge if we don't do it once in a year?
వచ్చినటువంటి యొక్క చక్కని క్రమబద్ధమైనటువంటి ఈ యొక్క శిక్షణే హైయర్ సెకండరీ స్కూల్ వరకు బయలుదేరుతుంది.
This discipline training will reach up to the higher secondary school level.
మా పిల్లలు కేవలం ఒక చదువునందు మాత్రమే కాదు.
Our students have not restricted to studies only.
Sings అది సాంగ్స్ అందు కూడాను.
ఇన్ మ్యూజిక్ దర్ ఫస్ట్
డాన్స్
డాన్స్
అన్ని విధాలు కూడాను మా పిల్లలు రెడీగా ఉంటారు.
ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ ఫీల్డ్ దే ఆర్ నెంబర్ వన్ టాపర్స్.
ఇది మాకు మా పని విని మేము చెప్పుకోకూడదు.
వీ డోంట్ సే జస్ట్ టు ఇన్ఫార్మ్ యూ లెట్ యు నో.
కనుక పిల్లలు చేయని పని ఒక్కటే లేదు.
There is nothing that our boys cannot do.
Inni pallalu pallalu bedda pattanalu tirutu untaru kaani character vishayalo athi jagrataga untaru.
They go to different places but they are very careful in maintaining their character.
Chaala jagrata.
They are highly careful.
Character antedi agni antedi.
Character is like a fire.
Dan chuchi chaala dooranga untaru.
And you should be very careful, watchful.
ఆడపిల్లలు కానీ మగపిల్లలు కానీ
బీ దట్ బాయ్స్ ఆర్ గర్ల్స్.
ఈ విధంగా మా పిల్లలు బంగారు వంటి పిల్లలు.
యూఆర్ అవర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, యూఆర్ అవర్ ప్యూర్ గోల్డ్.
నాకు ఇనుము గోల్డ్
ప్యూర్ గోల్డ్ అని చెప్పారు.
ప్యూర్ గోల్డ్,
ప్యూర్ గోల్డ్.
ఏది చెప్పినా కూడాను ఎటువంటి పని చెప్పినా దానికి సిద్ధమవుతుంటారు.
వాట్ ఎవర్ స్వామి సేస్ దే ఆర్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు డూ.
మా పిల్లలు ఎలాంటి వారంటే నేను చెప్పుకోకూడదు, కానీ నేను చెప్పిన దానికంటే ఇంకా ఎంతో ఎక్కువగా పిల్లలు పనిచేస్తున్నారు.
దో స్వామి సేయింగ్ దిస్ వే హీ డస్ నాట్ వాంట్ టు సే ఓపెన్లీ బట్ ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ స్టూడెంట్స్ ఇన్ రియాలిటీ ఆర్ మచ్ మోర్ దెన్ వాట్ భగవాన్ సెడ్ అండ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ నౌ.
ఎవరైనా పోతుంటే గుడ్డలు లేకపోతే తాను విప్పి ఆ వారికి ఇస్తాడు.
ఇఫ్ దే ఫైండ్ ఎనీబడీ హూ ఆర్ ఇన్ నీడ్ ఆఫ్ క్లోత్స్ దే గివ్ దేర్ ఓన్ క్లోత్స్.
ఈ విధంగా పిల్లలు తయారు చేస్తున్నాము.
అండ్ సచ్ స్టూడెంట్స్ ఆర్ ట్రైన్డ్ హియర్
ప్రైమరీ స్కూల్ లోపల.
ఇన్ ప్రైమరీ స్కూల్
చాలా చిన్న చిన్న పిల్లలు.
యు ఫైండ్ ద టైమ్ హి టాక్స్ దేర్
1200 మంది ఉన్నారు.
1200 చిల్డ్రన్
వారిని తల్లిదండ్రులను విడిచిపెట్టి ఉండలేరు, ఇక్కడ మమ్మల్ని విడిచిపెట్టి ఉండలేరు. కళాతురికి 2 దినాల లోపల తల్లిదండ్రులు మర్చిపోతున్నారు.
చిల్డ్రన్ కెనాట్ బి అవే ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ పేరెంట్స్. They cannot be away from us. But within 2 days, they forget their parents and begin to stay with us.
Agar ko chuchi, yo ma billali, enta manchi vaaripoyaru, ani chaala aanandistuntaru.
Parents, as they come and watch their own children, they are very much surprised how happy they are here.
Anta tallidandrulakante adhikamainatundi premanu chuputunnamu.
In fact, you have been showering love much more than their own parents.
Kanuka ma pillali yokka vishayamlo మీరు ఏమాత్రం సామాన్యుడిగా మీరు భావించకండి.
నెవర్ కన్సిడర్ అవర్ చిల్డ్రన్ స్టూడెంట్స్ ఆర్డినరీ.
వారు ఎంత గొప్ప వాళ్ళు.
దే ఆర్ రియలీ గ్రేట్.
దేశానికంతా కూడా నాయకుడుగా కావాలి.
దే ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బి ది లీడర్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కంట్రీ.
వీళ్ళు ఐడియల్స్ బాయ్స్ కావాలి.
దే ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బి ఐడియల్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కంట్రీ.
అప్పుడే మాకు చాలా సంతోషము.
దట్ ఓన్లీ మేక్స్ అస్ హ్యాపీ.
ఎంత ఐడియల్ బాయ్స్ అవుతారా?
ఆర్ యూ ప్రిపేర్ టు బి ఐడియల్ మాస్టర్స్?
భజన చేయండి.
భగవాన్
शांति दो भगवान, मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो सारी रात में, मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो सारी रात में, साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई राम,
शंकर हर परमेश्वर,
शिव शंकर
शिव शिव शंकर हर परमेश्वर, पाल गंगाधर साए, पाल गंगाधर साए, शिव शिव शंकर हर त्रिपुरेश्वर,
शिव शंकर हर त्रिपुरेश्वर,
शिव शिव शंकर पर त्रिपुरेश्वर,
शिव शंकर पर त्रिपुरेश्वर,
नट शिव शंकर शंकर हर परमेश्वर, बाल गंगाधर साई, शिव शिव शंकर पर त्रिपुरेश्वर,
नट शिव शंकर साई,
बाल गंगाधर साई,
बाल गंगाधर साई,
बाल गंगाधर साई,
बाल गंगाधर
साई, शिव शिव शंकर हर परमेश्वर,
जय जय जननी साई जननी अम्बे भवानी माँ, जय जननी साई जननी अम्बे भवानी माँ, जय माँ जय माँ,
హరి నా బోలో. సాయి మాధవ సాయి కేశవ శ్రీ హరి నా బోలో. భక్త జనా సంరక్షక పతి మహేశ్వర ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరి మదనాశ్రీకరా సర్వా ప్రాణపతి స్వామీ సర్వా ప్రాణపతి ఆశ్రిత కల్పన దీపా ఆశ్రిత కల్పన దీపా ఆప పితా
శాంతి. జై బోలో.